Shalom Aleichem. So we're going to recap the gist of what we discussed yesterday and where the Maharal was telling us how a person with all of the greatness of his soul has not really reached his full glory. He hasn't really reached his full glory unless he completes himself, unless he perfects himself. Hashem leaves it up to the person to perfect himself. And this, as the Maharal said yesterday, I mean, we said yesterday, but the truth is that the Maharal said it yesterday based on the famous concept of Sifsois of Deva Vizbakeva, when he learned the Torah of a Chacham, so he's actually articulating it from where he is. So the Maharal taught us yesterday that man is unique among all creatures, heavenly and earthly. There is no other creature that is not made with its full capacity. It's not made fully realized. Man is left in raw form, and it's left in his hands to bring himself to his completion. And which means that we are meant to bring ourselves to perfection, perfect ourselves. Now, here we went into, this is something that it really has to be clear to anybody who's really embarking on this path that we call Avodas Hashem, growth. And that is to understand what perfection means, because, you know, we all know the saying, nobody is perfect. And we know that it's a pasuk, Ein Adam Tzadik Baratza Sheyaseh Toi Velo Yechta. And as we said, you know, we all know that we're going to be continuing to say Vidui until the end of our lives for our faults and imperfections, which kind of might imply that, you know what, you don't have a chance of living up to the Torah's expectations, because there will always be subtler and subtler things that you won't get right. And here's where the Maharal came, and the truth is, you see this from other sources as well, this is the fundamental key to understanding the nature of Avodas Hashem. And that is that Hashem set it up such that, that's right, there will always be more to do. And perfection is working toward perfection. That is perfection. Perfection does not mean reaching there, because you never will. On the contrary, the essence of being in a physical body, of the essence of our purpose in this world, is that there's always room for growth as high as you get. So therefore, when we hear that as great as you get, there's still more expectation and more expectation. Problem. But if you're moving forward, and this is what the Maharal called Amo, this is what he says, Adam la Amo yumla, man is created for Amo. Amo, the Maharal said, means toil without a finish line. Toil without a finish line. The one mashal we gave for that was exercise. It's not like you reach a point, it's something that's ongoing. It's not like you reach a point where you say, that's it, I brought my body to its perfect state, and that there's no more room for exercise. So Amo means to constantly be perfecting yourself more and more and more. And the more you do that, you may reach levels that years ago you would have considered beyond perfection. But once you get there, you see, no, there's more of a way to go. There's more of a way to go. Because that is our perfection. When a person spent his life working more, working more, working more, that is the perfection that we're talking about. I'll supplement this with a beautiful insight that I heard from an uncle of mine, current Rav of Be'er Yaakov. Says that the Gemara says that when Hashem, at the end of time, Hashem will slaughter the Yetzer Hara. And everybody will be there to watch. And what will the Yetzer Hara look like? So the Gemara says, oh, Rabbeisai, I'm sorry, I'm just hopping now that yesterday people emailed me during the Shia to let me know that it's not clear. I don't know if that's happening now, so I'm going to go to my computer so I can see. What does the Yetzer Hara look like? So the Gemara says that to the Tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara will appear as a mountain. And to the Rishayim, the Yetzer Hara will appear as a hare. And the Tzaddikim will be weeping and saying, how could we have conquered such a mountain? How could we have overcome this? And the Rishayim will be saying, how is it that we could not overcome just this hare? So the question is, what's the truth? Now, it's kind of like, seems like, you know, we're making the tzaddikim feel good. We show them the Yetzer Hara as a mountain. And to the Rishayim, we want to make them feel guilty. We show them the Yetzer Hara as a hare. So, oh, Yeshua Karachitzi, I see you hear me. Okay, good. If anything changes, please let me know. So, my uncle gave a beautiful, beautiful hesber. There are different explanations given to this, but he gave a beautiful hesber. He said, you know what? The Yetzer Hara, meaning the challenges that we're expected to surmount in life, if you just look at everything, Hashem says, here's what I expect you to conquer. Here's what I expect you to surmount. It's a mountain. But, what Hashem says is, wait, I'm not asking of you to get to the top of the mountain. Here's what I'm doing. You know, like when you put up a ribbon in front of like a new place that you're opening, you put a ribbon there and you cut the ribbon. So Hashem spreads a hair across the foot of the mountain and says, all I want you to do is to break through this hair. Can you do that? You break through the hair. And then Hashem puts up another hair right in front of that one. Now just break through that one, that's all. And then you break through another one. And then you break through another one. Now tzaddikim, who spent their lives going from one hair to the next, by the time, all they've been doing their entire life was breaking the next hair, and then breaking the next hair. But by the time they get to the end of their life, they're shown here, by doing one hair, and then another hair, and then another hair, look what you conquered, an entire mountain. While the Rasha, what's he shown at the end of his life? This is the one hair that you refused to break through. This is the one hair that you refused to break through. So yeah, The tzaddik is seeing what he overcame. Ultimately, it was a mountain, one hair after the next. The Rasha is shown the single hair that he never got past. So this is the idea. What's expected of us is break through that hair. Then break through another one. There will always be another one. But on the contrary, that's the purpose, just to be doing one after the next. And you don't have to be viewing the top of the mountain. At the end of the life, you'll be shown your own personal mountain that you surmounted by breaking one hair after the next. Okay, let's move on. We spent a lot of time recapping. Let's move on to the next piece in Maharal. We're going to begin the next parak, parak of V. Now, here we bring this discussion to the next level. Everything we've been discussing up till now, the Maharal starts putting up the next layer of bricks. Rav Avigdor Miller used to say, often he said, Torah Hashkafa, the Torah way of thinking, the way the Torah wants us to be thinking, is often not so palatable to the Western mind. It's often not politically correct. And one thing that I've encountered is, people have difficulty with the egocentric perspective of Torah Hashkafa. The Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, Chayv Adam Loimar Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created for me. What does that mean? That doesn't mean everything is coming to me. What that means is that you, as this neshama that we've been talking about, you have to realize that a single Jewish neshama is so precious to Hashem. It's not that Hashem created a system that will churn out millions of neshamas. And altogether, it's a worthwhile system. No. Essentially, each neshama is an olam unto itself, something that would justify the entire creation of the universe for the individual neshama. The universe is not something bigger than the Jewish neshama. The neshama is something bigger than the universe. And I've encountered sometimes people have a hard time with this and say that kind of makes it selfish. Like the whole purpose of everything is to bring my neshama to perfection. That's what Hashem wants. Seems a little egocentric. And the question I've heard put forth is that isn't there really a different value that supersedes the individual neshama, and that is tikkun olam, bringing the world to its perfection. Meaning man's place in creating a better world, in creating a greater world, etc. So we're going to learn now in Maharal that there are both tracks. But nevertheless, the first is actually greater. The most valued thing to Hashem, now I want to differentiate. We can really break this into three levels. There's the ultimate tikkun olam, the ultimate gilui of the end of days, when all of history and everything that's been going on and how every event of our personal lives and all of our struggles and the struggles of Judaism throughout all of history will ultimately culminate in the grand revelation of Hashem at the end of days. That track I'm not discussing now. That's a whole different theme. The Ramchal's whole Sefer Das Tvunis is dedicated to the two tracks, the tracks of personal perfection and the broad scheme of the ultimate Gilui. That's not what I'm discussing now. I'm discussing now Tikkun Olam as in you making the world a better place, which we'll understand has more profundity to it than just those words. And again, it seems less selfish to say that that's really the point. And a person's own perfection is just a small piece in that picture. But actually, it isn't true. It's not so. It comes from a certain material perspective of, you know, you look outside and the universe seems much bigger than me, so isn't it a little presumptuous for me to assume that I'm actually greater than all that? But you know what? Again, all we see is our physical body, and we are being told, this is Torah Hashkafa, that no, the single Yisrael is something that is greater to Hashem than the entire universe. And it's because we don't understand the immensity of a neshama. And this is the Maharal's next discussion. The Maharal's next discussion is to develop both of these concepts in a very, very profound and beautiful way. We're only going to begin the discussion now, so, okay, last night kind of caused us to lose our perek a day, but you know what? We keep saying that part of this whole tkufa is to submit ourselves to Hashem's will. Hashem wanted us to spend the first two-thirds of this year recapping yesterday. We're not going to get to, we're just going to introduce the third perek today. The Maharal says as follows. We're just going to open this subject. The Maharal says as follows. Sorry, the fourth perek we're beginning today. The fourth perek. The Gemara tells us, we know, that there are 613 mitzvahs, 365 prohibitions, and 248 positive commands. And Chazal say, what do these numbers correspond to? So first of all, the Maharal just makes a fundamental point before getting into what they correspond to. He says, you have to understand that nothing, when we're talking about godly things, nothing, no number is coincidental. It's not that, well, you know, it happened to be that it came together to 248. Every aspect of godliness is significant and has deeper profundity. That's why you'll see in the Maharal in general, gematria, numbers, etc., letters, all carry a lot of depth. His lashon here is, ein mikra l'kmoi dvarim elohu elokim. Don't think that the numbers are by chance. There's no chance in these things. Now, Chazal tell us that what do these numbers correspond to? So it says the 365 prohibitions correspond to the days of the year, the days of the sun year, mind you, the days of the sun year. I stress that because we generally operate with the moon year. But the 365 prohibitions correspond to the days of the sun year, the solar year. The 248 positive commands, mitzvahs asay, correspond to the limbs of man. Exactly how Chazal counted it, we're not going to get into that now, but we're told that man has two, Chazal counted as man's limbs 248. And that's what the mitzvahs asay correspond to. Now, what is the significance of these two corollaries? So I'm just going to introduce what the Maharal says about the lois asays, and then we'll, Be'ezos Hashem, okay, well, I guess by now, next week, we'll really develop the subject. But he says something amazing. He says something amazing. The sun year, he says, the sun is the mightiest force of nature in our world. And therefore, it's considered the ruler of nature, the ruler of nature. In the natural world. It's the physical ruler of nature. When the sun year has 365 days, which means that that is what completes the sun's orbit, or the sun's dominion, the sun's reign, the sun's influence, a full unit of the sun doing its thing is 365. So the number 365 connotes a certain shleimus, a certain all-encompassingness of the physical world, of the natural world. So now, the Maharal says, the sun is the greatest natural physical force in the world, and the man is the spiritual ruler of the world. The world revolves around man. The world is there to serve as a platform for man. He says, like just as the sun basically is the cherry on the top, what brings it all together, what sustains it all, what supports it all on the physical level, man is like the neshama of that. Man is like the neshama of that. Man is what brings the world to its perfection, and the entire world is there to contribute to man's function. And therefore, man as well contains 365. Right? We're not going to get into now why this is lois asays versus asays. That'll be next time. But this system of the mitzvahs of the Torah, these two systems, the mitzvahs asay and the mitzvahs lois asay, this system of the mitzvahs of the Torah is showing how man, in the same way, encompasses the entire world on the more inner level. Like what the sun does on the physical, natural level, it reigns the world, it defines the world, it controls the world. Man is doing that on the more inner, kind of like the neshama. He says the sun is on the goof aspect, and man is the neshama aspect of this, how man gives the world its completion, man gives the world its meaning, its purpose, in an all-encompassing way. And therefore, one of the two systems of Torah, which is what gives man that status, that's what we said, right, that this is what brings man to that level, is 365, just like the sun. It's an all-encompassing system that encompasses the entire world and brings the world to its completion, to its perfection. Now, you may already guess that what we're leading up to is that this is the Tikkun Olam track. This is where man constitutes the cherry on the top of the entire world and through his function brings the world to its perfection. Okay, we opened the subject, and Be'ezos Hashem, We will continue next week. Tomorrow we won't have this shiur because we'll have the drasha on Zoom, Be'ezras Hashem, at 9 o'clock. Now we'll unmute and then we'll say good night.